Turn with me, if you would, back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I put an article in last Sunday morning's bulletin called Absence Makes the Heart Grow Fonder. And I meant every word of that article. I meant every single word of that article. In verse 7 here of Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, I am saying all of these things to you. Everything that he had to say to them. He said, I'm saying all of these things to you because I have you in my heart. He told them, you are in my heart. And I wanted to say that to you in that article last Sunday. And I want to say that to you right now, tonight. I want to say that to you right now. You are in my heart. You are in my heart because of Christ. All because of Christ. And we all acknowledge that to be so. It is all because of Christ. He gave the heart. He gave the love. He gave the bond. He is the bond. He is what unites us. It is all because of Him. It is all because of Him. And because of Him, you are in my heart. Now, I'm not one. I don't normally say people's names in my messages. I don't know if anybody notices that or not. But I'm not one to call out people's names. And I'm not going to. But I would love to call out all of your names and tell you, I just really want to talk to you for a minute. All of the circumstances involved, everything that's just taken place, and I just really want you to know. I just really, really want you to know, you are in my heart. As things go and as things change, we're about to go through some big changes. We're going to go to this new building and things are about to change. And, responsibilities will grow. And I want you to know you're in my heart. Like I really want you to know that. All of us are very busy right now. All of us are very, very busy right now in one form or fashion. If you're in the medical field, you're very busy right now. If you are in the construction field, you are very busy right now. If you're in any field, you're very busy right now. If you have kids at home, you're very busy right now. Our home lives are busy. Our home life is busy. That's just the home life, much less all the other responsibilities. It's very busy. Our work lives, our school lives are busy. This ministry is busy right now. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to be busy in the ministry. I really do. I want to be busy. I am so, so thankful for that. We are trying to finish this building. We are trying to fill this pulpit. We're being asked to go preach the gospel here. We're being asked to go preach the gospel there. Thank God. Thank God that anybody would want the gospel to be preached anywhere. Here, there, anywhere. We're going all over the place preaching the gospel. Thank God. Oh, may the gospel thrive. Lord, send the gospel out. Call laborers to the field. But it's busy. It's a busy moment. And I don't know when or if it's ever going to get unbusy. I keep saying as soon as the building's done, you know, as soon as we get past that, I don't know if it's going to get unbusy or not. I really don't. So I want you to know this. I'm telling you, I want you to know this. I just really want you to know this. I love you. I love you. You're in my heart. You're very, very much in my heart. It doesn't matter how busy we are. It doesn't matter how many directions we're pulled into. And I'm not just talking about the congregation as a whole. I'm talking individually. Individually. Over these last 2 weeks, I missed you all. I missed you. And you will know what I'm talking about when there are moments when you're doing things and doing life and going through whatever. And all of a sudden, something will happen that will make you really realize, man, I love my wife. Or, man, I love my children. Well, I've had that moment. And I just really want you to know. I mean, I want you to know that you're in my heart. You're in my heart, no matter what. No matter what, you're in my heart. I want to say to you, along with Paul and Timothy, if you look here at Philippians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want grace and peace to be with you. I want grace and peace to be with you. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's gift. God's grace. God's gift of life. I want eternal life to be with you. I want it to be with me. God's gift of salvation. Eternal salvation. God's gift of His Son. I want Christ to be with you. I do. I want Christ to be with you. I want the eternal peace that comes from being with Him, being in Him. The peace that comes because of His sacrifice. No matter what happens, as long as we have His sacrifice, there's peace. As long as we have His blood, there's peace. It doesn't matter what I do, you do, what anybody does. If we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's peace. The peace that comes because of His finished work. Absolutely finished work. I want the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. I have you in my heart, therefore I greatly, greatly desire God's grace and peace from Christ to you. That's what I want. I want Christ's sacrifice to be on me and you. Me and you. Together. May it be on us together. Verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every remembrance of you. We take the Lord's table together, and in that, our Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. Don't we love remembering our Lord? Don't we love remembering our Lord? Go out into the world and you forget all these things. You just forget all these things. You get so caught up in everything that's not this. And don't you love when the Spirit of our Lord comes to us and brings that remembrance of Him again? Don't you love remembering His life that He lived for us on this earth? If you at all pay attention to the life you're living on this earth, it's not that good. Don't you love thinking about that perfect, spotless, holy, innocent life that He lived for us on this earth? What He did, what He said, what He suffered for us. Don't we love remembering His death that He died for us on this earth? Died for us so we don't have to. Forsaken by God the Father for us so we don't have to be. A brother just read in my study for us Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you love, when the Lord lets you enter into the fact that God forsook Him so that God would not have to forsake us. I love remembering that. He was forsaken so that we could be termed not forsaken. Don't we love remembering His resurrection? Every time I think about Him walking out of that tomb, I love the thought of that. I love the victory. I love the power. The hope He brought to us through it. Don't we love remembering His ascension? You think about the fact, not only the event and the moment of His leaving this world and the ascension, but the fact that He ascended into heaven and sat down on His throne. Don't you love remembering His reign? When everything out there is falling apart. Don't you love getting back a hold again of His sovereign reign over all things? Don't you love remembering the fact that we have a life we're going to now live together with Him because of everything He came and did for us? We have a life to come. Don't we thank our God upon every remembrance of Christ? Every one of them. Well, can't we say that we thank our God for every brother and sister who truly loves God and loves Christ and loves everything that He did for us and rejoices in that? We can say that. We really can say that. If you are in Christ and if Christ is in you, I thank God for you. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. Verse 4, Philippians 1 verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I thank God for giving me fellowship with you. I do. I thank God for giving me fellowship with you. Fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in Christ. If it were not for Christ, nothing really would hold us together. Nothing really. If it were not for Christ. But because of Christ, we have fellowship. That means we're on common ground. It means the same. That's what it means, the same. We have fellowship in worship. Our worship is the same. We worship Christ together. And I love that. I'm so thankful for that. We're on common ground there. We have fellowship in thanksgiving. We give thanks for the same thing. We thank our God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for everything He did for us in Christ. We have fellowship in praise. We praise and honor and glorify and magnify Christ. Christ alone. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. We have fellowship in faith. Every soul that God has given it to has the faith of Christ Himself. And therefore we all believe Him. We all believe His Word. We read this Word and we believe it. We're looking to Him. We're hoping in Him. We're trusting. We're waiting together in fellowship. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This fellowship that we have causes us to cry, He started it, He finished it, He'll perform it all the way to the end. He started it. He finished it. He'll perform it all the way to the end. Anytime one of us says that, all the other ones cry, amen. Amen. Us having each other in our hearts, that's His work. That's His doing. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. Christ in you. Christ in us is what creates the desire to have each other in our hearts. It's Christ in us. It's His work which He hath begun in us. That's what creates this love for each other. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And this salvation of mercy and forgiveness, and this calling of grace and love, it will never end. It will never end. What binds us together will never stop binding us together. God told the first man, Adam, He said, it's all about the blood. Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord killed a lamb, covered them in those skins, and told him, and Adam told Abel, it's all about the blood. All through the Old Testament, those sacrifices cried, it's all about the blood. All of the New Testament of Christ cries, it's all about the blood. And Revelation 5 tells us that for all eternity, all of God's saints will be crying, it's all about the blood. That's our fellowship, that's our love, and that's our union. So verse 2, look back at verse 2. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers. And if your Bible has that center margin, you'll see those last three words mean, with me of grace. You all are partakers with me of grace. What do we have that we have not received? We've all been made to be partakers of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. Grace humbles men and women. That's what it does. It humbles men and women. And that's what makes them lovely. That's what makes them lovable. I've told you this story, the story of Mr. and Miss Burke, so many times, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Many years ago, a long time ago, horse and buggy days, this lady, Miss Burke, attended a church that was having a gospel meeting one weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And her husband, Mr. Burke, he had no interest in the gospel. None whatsoever. He had no interest in going with her to worship God. No interest. But because it was a special meeting, she asked him to go anyway. And he said he would go. So Friday night came and he got the buggy out, hooked the horse up to it. They rode into town. And the man preached God's absolute sovereignty and glory. He preached the true and living God. And he preached the absolute truth about sinful, wicked man. And Mr. Burke did not like it. Didn't like it at all. He was furious all the way home. Just mad. He said, I'll never go back. Don't ever ask me to go again. I'll never listen to that ever again. Saturday came. And she wasn't about to ask him. But he asked her. He came to her and he said, what time does that service start tonight? She said, it starts at 7. Are you going? And he said, I'm going to go one more time. So he hooked the buggy up. They rode into town. And the preacher there gave Christ all the glory and gave man none of the glory. And he stormed out all the way home just furious. Absolutely furious. That night, Miss Burke got sick and she woke up Sunday morning and she couldn't go to the service. But when Mr. Burke got up, she noticed that he wasn't putting his work clothes on. He was putting his dress clothes on. And she said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to go one more time. I'm just going to go one last time. So he hooked the buggy up. He rode into town, sat down in the service, and the Lord opened his heart. Like the Lord opens the heart of all of His people. And he heard the gospel. He heard what he was. And he heard what Christ was. And the Lord truly broke his heart. He just, with tears coming down his face, he rejoiced in the glory of what Christ had done for sinners. And on the way home, he said, it was like everything declared the glory of God. Everything. And he said, it was like the wind blowing through the trees. The leaves sounded like they were saying, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. And he said he went over the brook and the water sounded like he was saying, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. He said the birds singing sounded like they were saying, glad you're saved, Brother Burke. And he got home and he put the buggy up and he put the horse up and he was walking up that back path and his wife was standing at the top of the steps with her hands on her hips, and she said, "God saved you, didn't He?" And he said, "Yeah, I believe He did." "How did you know?" And she said, "I heard you singing all the way down the drive, 'Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me.'" Now, that man is in my heart. He's in my heart. Any soul that God reveals that to and brings that to, that man is in my heart. That woman is in my heart. There is a love there for God's people who truly have bowed the knee to Christ. And why is the love there? It's because of what Christ did for him. It's because of the gift of God to him. And that's the reason why you're in my heart. And that's the reason why I pray I'm in your heart. It's because of what Christ has done for us. Because of what Christ has given to us. It's all because of the grace and the peace and the love of Christ. And we're going to close on this verse right here. If you look at verse 8, it says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all, in the bowels of Jesus Christ." In the heart. Because of the heart, because of the love. God is our record. He's the one who created this love. He's the one who put it there. It's there. And He's our record of it. Lord, for Christ's sake, make this love to grow. I want it to. I pray Christ might be in our hearts. I pray we might be in His heart. I pray we might be in each other's heart. I pray so. All right, let's all stand together.